Good morning, Fairhaven Bible Chapel. Hey, Robbie. I'm excited because we are now in week two of a series that is really important to going through the epistles of John. And we started out last week just thinking about the phrase that's the title of our whole series. We know him. Last week we saw that we know him who is from the beginning, the source of life. And we have fellowship with him. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have fellowship with each other, that you also may have fellowship with us. We saw that this fellowship was based on our relationship. That when we become children of God, we have a relationship that nobody can tear apart. That nobody can break. We are his child forever. And nothing can ruin that. And we saw that based on that relationship, we have fellowship with him. We can share in life with the God of the universe. The source of all life. We saw that that fellowship is based on our relationship. We as his children love him and obey him. And we have fellowship with him. And then we saw that that influences our fellowship with each other. That if we're fellowshipping with him and loving him and obeying him, then we'll be loving each other. That's what God wants for us. A life of fellowship with him, where we share in the life of God. And we experience joy through that. That's his desire for us. And this week we're going to learn more about that fellowship. And how we can maintain the wonderful fellowship that he wants for us. That sharing in life together. And I was really glad that these verses, chapter 1, 5 through 2, 2, fell to me. Because these verses changed my life. They didn't just influence how I think or make me see things a little differently. They completely changed my life. And so we're going to pray and we're going to get started in 1 John. Verse 5. Father, we thank you that we can come here as your children. Lord, I pray for you to be working in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that we would be honest with you, that we be honest with ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to touch us in a way that not only changes how we think, but how we live, Lord. We ask this in the name of your Son who loves us and gave his life for us. Amen. When you sin, what do you do? I'm not asking what you've been taught to do when you sin or what the right answer is to that question. I'm asking you to think about your life and when you sin, what you actually do in response to that. I know that before I had a good answer for that, good textbook answer, that didn't match at all what I did in my real life. It seems that the human heart has two main ways that it responds to its sin. Two main responses, even those of us who have a relationship with God and want to have fellowship with him, even we fall into these two responses when we sin. And the first one is, we justify our sin. We make excuses for it. We say, well, I wouldn't have done that if they didn't do this. Or, it's just a bad week. That's not really who I am. We tell people the reason why we did this excuses us from doing it, and we justify our sin. Or we just deny that it's wrong. Well, that's not bad. I don't care what you think. That's okay. It's good to do that. It's fine. That's one response. And then all the way over on the other extreme, and I've seen myself there, and I've seen myself here, is that we just beat ourselves up. You know, we don't call it this, but we do penance. You know, we We get on ourselves. We talk about how horrible we are. And we get on ourselves and we don't go and hang out with the believers because, you know, I'm not there right now. Or we go to break bread and instead of worshiping Him, for an hour we sit there and heap shame on ourselves about how bad we are. We put ourselves through a period, we wouldn't call it this, but this is what we do. We put ourselves through a period of penance. We say, I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to work on my prayer life. I'm going to do all these things. And we try to make a deal with God. Those are two major responses. Either we justify our sin or we beat ourselves up over it. And if you've done those things, you're not alone. That's me, right there with you. But God didn't call us to this. He didn't call us to excuse our sin, and He didn't call us to a life of penance. It's not His idea. He didn't institute that. He has a totally different way of dealing with our sin. And it is better, because what He wants when we sin is to bring us back into fellowship with Him, and bring us back into that sharing in life with Him, so that we can experience the joy that He wants us to. That's what He wants for us. And in our passage today, we're going to see three simple steps that He instituted for taking us from falling into sin to being back into fellowship with Him. But before we can see those three steps, we really have to understand what it is that sin does to our fellowship. How does sin influence our fellowship with God? And that's where we start in 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. It's a beautiful message. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness. We know that light and darkness don't mix. Light and darkness are opposites. When light shows up, darkness leaves, because darkness is the absence of light. And in God, what this is saying is, in Him is goodness and truth. He is only good and only true. And there is no sin or deceit inside of God. He's pure. He's perfect. He is light. No darkness in Him at all. And that has gigantic ramifications for our fellowship with Him. And we see that in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you're sinning, if you're walking in sin, and you say, I have fellowship with God, either one of two things has happened. Either God stopped being light and now He can share in darkness, or you lie and you don't practice the truth. It's really black and white. If you sin, God can't have fellowship with you. He can't share in life with you when you're in darkness. He can't do that. And you can't share in life with Him when you're in darkness. They don't mix. And so when we sin, when we walk away from God, we do what we want to do, we put up a barrier between us and God. We have taken ourselves out of His light and walked into darkness. And now fellowship is not possible. We want to think it is. We think maybe we can have a little bit of fellowship and a little bit of sin. The Bible says, no, it's not possible. That seems really stark. But I'm just reading what the verse says. And how can penance fix that? How could feeling bad and beating yourself up fix that? It can't. How could justifying your sin and making excuses for it fix it? It can't. But God has a plan to fix that. He doesn't want you to be out of fellowship with Him. He wants to walk in fellowship with you. So He gave us a plan of how we could get back into fellowship with Him. Back into sharing in life with Him and the joy that that brings. And the first step is that in that plan is that we need to step into the light. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know the worst thing about justifying your sin is it does nothing for you to get you out of darkness. It just leaves you there. All your excuses, all your reasons don't help you. All they do is keep you in darkness. And the same is true for penance. All your beating yourself up and all your saying how bad you are do nothing to get you out of darkness. What God asks us to do, the first step, is that we step into His light. And we let God expose us. We let Him expose our sin. Now that's kind of scary, right? This holy God who's never done anything wrong, and you walk into His presence, and He exposes the wrong you've done. People spend their whole lives trying to avoid that experience. But look at what it says. Walking into that light and being exposed doesn't bring judgment. It brings the exact opposite. It brings cleansing. You see, you walk into that light and God shows you how filthy you are. And then His Son, Jesus, goes to work on you. His death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection get applied to your life as His child. And now you're cleansed. Now you're clean. You walk into the light and you realize I'm really dirty, and God right away cleans you up. So that's the first step. Walk into His light. Let Him expose your sin, because then He can clean you up. There's a second step to this. You see it in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We're given two options here. We can deny our sin, or we can confess it. Denying our sin is that whole justifying ourselves thing. You know, it's not really wrong because that's when we deny our sin. I didn't do anything. I'm fine. And I've been there. You know, you're angry and you're upset, but it's somebody else's fault. Or you did that thing that you've been trying not to do, but man, you got 18 reasons why you did it. None of them are you. Deny your sin. And the worst thing about that is it does nothing to get you back into fellowship with God. All it is you saying, all it is you being deceived. You're deceiving yourself, first of all, and you're believing lies about yourself. That's not helpful. But the worst part of it is you're walking up to God and you're saying to Him, you're a liar. It's a good thing we're His children when we do that. What He wants for us is to come to Him and simply confess our sins. Confession is something that it took me a while to get. Because I thought it was the same as doing penance. I thought that whole beating myself up thing and telling God I was going to work on being a better Christian and going through that experience where I sit in the breaking and I don't worship Him. I just, you know, think about how bad I am. I thought that was what I was supposed to be doing. I thought that was confession. But confession is completely different. Confession is when you step into the light and He exposes your sin and you say to God, I'm guilty. I did this and you name what you did. God, I lied. And I'm guilty. You name what you did. And then the verse tells us, once you do that, you can just trust God to do the rest. You trust that He's going to change you, that He's going to work in your heart. He's going to do the rest. It's completely different from penance. And actually, penance, when you think about it, it's not only unnecessary and useless, it's insulting. Because it's you saying to God, God, I'm going to clean myself up for you. God, I'm going to get my heart right with you. God, I'm going to fix this problem. God's looking at you saying, you never could fix it in the first place. Don't you remember when you got saved? You were sitting there and you looked at yourself and you said, I'm horrible and God should punish me. And you didn't say, now I'm going to clean myself up. No, you knew you couldn't. But you saw Jesus and you said, He can save me. And you ran to Him and you grabbed onto Him. And that's what confession is. It's just doing that as His child now. It's walking to His presence and saying, God, I did this. I'm guilty. I trust that You're going to change my heart. Nothing more, nothing less. Just confess. That's it. And it says, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, God looks at us and sees our sin. No. He sees Jesus, who died for our sin, who gave His life to save us, and He forgives us. If we confess, He works in our hearts to start to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He works in your heart to change you, to make you different from who you are now. Not because you came up with a program to do it, but because you admitted you're a sinner and trusted Him to do it. And He does. He starts to cleanse you. And I love this about the verse, is what it says about God when He does this. It says when God does this, when He forgives you and starts to cleanse you, He's faithful and just. He's faithful because He's promised He'd do it. You know, He made a covenant with us. And in that covenant, He said that He would forgive us our sins. That He would forgive them and He would separate our sins from us. He wouldn't remember them anymore. And He promised that He would change our hearts. That He would begin to write His law on our hearts and make us different people. He's faithful to do that. And when you come and confess to Him and admit that you've sinned, He's faithful to work in your life, to forgive you and to change you. And it's completely just of Him to do it. When I was a kid, I got into trouble. And people let me get off a lot. You know? I would get into trouble, and then they would say, you shouldn't do that. And I'd say, okay. And then they would let me go do something else. And I very rarely had to suffer any consequences for the decisions I made. You know? I wasn't bad enough for the courts to handle me. And so they would just kind of, you know, just get out of here. Just, you know. Go visit a probation officer once in a while. And I get off. And there was no justice. I never got punished for anything I ever did. I never got in trouble for the stuff I did. There was never any program to help me change. There was nothing fair about the whole situation. All it was them trying to get rid of me. That's not how God works. When God forgives you, it's fair and it's just because it cost His Son His life. When God forgives you, He's already paid the penalty for your sin. And as His child, when He forgives you like a father forgives a son, it's because Jesus has already died for that sin. And then He just welcomes you back into fellowship. Back into walking with Him. So step one is step into the light. And step two is confess your sin. And step three is trust your advocate. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I love that. John's talking to us, and it seems like he really wants us to get the love and care he has for the churches, especially for the younger believers there. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. It's best if you just don't sin. If you are God's child, the best option is don't sin. Why? Well, because sin doesn't bring anything good to your life. You know, sin comes in and it ruins your fellowship, which means it separates you from the source of life and sharing in life with Him. So it ruins your fellowship with God. It separates you from that life, so it separates you from your joy, and it brings guilt and shame and fear. Sin doesn't help you at all. Now, it promises you lots of things, and maybe it's a passing pleasure. Maybe when sin comes along and says, hey, you'll feel better if you do this. And you go, maybe I would. Or maybe sin comes along and says, you have every right to do this after how they treated you. I do have every right to do this. And it comes along and it deceives you. It makes you think it has something to offer you. And all it has to offer you is your loss of fellowship with your Father. For what? For nothing. And so it's better if you just don't sin. He writes these things to us so that we may not sin. So that we can stay in the light and just walk in the light. But I love how he writes this. And if anyone sins, think about that. If anyone sins, he knows it's better for us not to. He knows we should know it's better if we don't. But he knows it's going to happen. And so God makes provision for it. Because he loves us. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. This is where it's really interesting to me. You know, an advocate is a really important person in a courtroom. And so far we've stepped into the light and God exposed our sin. We came before the judge of the universe and he showed us that we had broken the law. That we were wrong. That we deserved judgment. And we took the stand and we pled guilty. We confessed our sin. We didn't justify it. We didn't make excuses for it. We confessed it to Him. And now in the courtroom of heaven, alongside of us comes one who will fight for us like no other. Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, an advocate's job is to defend from those who accuse you. That's the job of the advocate. You're in court, and there's somebody accusing you of your crimes, and their job is to defend you. And the accuser's not mentioned in our verse, but we kind of know who he is, don't we? You know, the Bible says that Satan stands day and night in the presence of God to accuse the brethren. He stands there and points out the wrong things you have done. See, God, if that's your child, why is he over there doing that? What's wrong with him? I thought he was your child. And God, look it. She doesn't deserve to be in your presence and have fellowship with you. I just saw what she did. Didn't you see that? And he accuses us day and night. They're a bunch of worthless sinners, God. And you know what? He's got the easiest job as a lawyer of any lawyer in the universe. Satan's job as a lawyer is so simple. You know, he doesn't even have to have some great tactic to trick us into confessing our sin, right? He just gets us on the stand, lays out the case, and it's pretty obvious we have sinned. You know? This isn't, I grew up with my mom watching Perry Mason, you know, and he would always get the person to cry at the end of the scene. I did it! I did it! You know? Satan doesn't even have to do that with us. It's so simple. We've done it. We've sinned. It's obvious to everybody in the courtroom. No matter how much we've tried to justify it or how much penance we've done, it's obvious to everybody in the courtroom. But then the judge, after hearing all the accusations, looks at us. And right next to us is our advocate. Think of how special this is. He's called the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. Why is he called the Father? Our advocate, the one who defends us against the accusers, is the son of the judge. That's a pretty good deal. I'll take that any day. He's the son of the judge, and he stands there to defend us. And not only is the son of the judge, it says he's Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is 100% in the light with the judge. Our accuser's in darkness, and our advocate is in the light with the judge. The accuser can't even accuse him of anything. He's never done anything wrong. The accuser has no charge to bring against our advocate. And more than that, he himself has already paid for our sins. It says the word propitiation for here. Propitiation means that Jesus, our advocate, took our judgment so that God could look on us with pleasure. You see, we were in darkness and we deserved wrath, and our advocate came and said, I'll take it. I don't deserve the wrath, but I'll take it. And he took the punishment for us. And he died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again on the third day in life to triumph over the grave. And now he stands ever in the presence of God to defend us against any accusation that we don't deserve to be there. In and of ourselves, the accuser's right. We don't deserve to be there. In and of ourselves, the accuser's right. We deserve to be with him in darkness forever. But our advocate came, and our advocate stands up and says, Father, I've never done anything wrong, and I gave my life for this man, and he has trusted in me. And so, any accusation against him has already been paid on my account. And we sit in the courtroom, and all we can do is say thank you. Thank you for getting me off. And not because I lied and not because you tricked around and did something not fair. You got me off by paying for my penalty. And you brought me not into a place now where I can just walk in darkness more. No, you brought me into your light and gave me fellowship with God the Father. And you have given me life. And we go to our advocate and we say, thank you for giving me your life and letting me share in your life. And you know what's wonderful about this? Is our advocate not only saves us, but the verse says he's the propitiation not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So we can go around and tell people, hey, I know a guy. And he can get you off. I know that you messed up, and I see you over here trying to justify your sin, but it's not going to help you. And I see you over here beating yourself up for your sin, but that's not going to help you. No, I know a guy. He can save you. He can bring you into fellowship with God. That's the message we get to tell people. That's what we get to do because our advocate saved us. And he keeps bringing us back into fellowship with God time and time again. So when you fall out of fellowship with God, it's simple. There's three steps. You step into his light and let him expose your sin. It's probably the hardest step because that's the first step away from justifying your sin and from beating yourself up over it. It's just to step on into his light and let him expose your sin. The next step is to confess your sin. Name what you did. Tell him it's wrong. Trust that he can change your heart. You know, that's a lot shorter than that whole process of penance. You get things cleared up real fast that way. Trust that he can change your heart. And maybe you'll be back tomorrow. But that's all right. Because your advocate stands ever in the presence of God to make your case. And so he's ready. So step into the light, confess your sin, and trust your advocate. Trust your advocate. Right now I want to take some time. Last week I said that we were going to ask three questions, that I wanted you to keep these in the top of your mind as we went through the books of John, the epistles of John. And the three questions were, what do you learn about him? What can you do to have deeper fellowship with him? And what can you do to have deeper fellowship with his people? And right now, I just want to give you some time. As you stand here with the Word of God open, I want to give you some time to think about what you've learned about him today from this passage. And then take some time to write it down. If you don't have a pen, just write it. What have you learned about him from this passage? Maybe it's not something brand new. Maybe you needed a reminder. I want you to think through the second two questions. What can you do to have deeper fellowship with him? And what can you do to have deeper fellowship with his people? Pick one of those, or both. Just think about how the message of Jesus Christ, our advocate, how will you take that into your life this week? What can you do to have deeper fellowship with him? Have deeper fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, God does not want his children to sin. He wrote these things to us that we would not sin. But if we sin, he's made provision for us. He's made a way back so that we can have our fellowship restored. If we step into his light, if we confess our sin, and if we trust our advocate, we can go back to having fellowship with him. And I want to tell you that this simple truth has led to me being able to experience fellowship with God in ways that I wasn't able to before, because I spent so much time over here or over there. I spent so much time, instead of serving and loving him and obeying his commandments, beating myself up. And it just took me out of service. And I spent so much time trying to excuse myself and make myself look good instead of just admitting I was wrong. And again, it just took me out of fellowship with him and out of his service. We fellowship with him when we obey his commands. And when I was doing those two things, I wasn't able to. But when I learned this, that I just need to come into his light and confess my sin and trust my advocate, it got rid of those weeks of trying to pay back my sin or doing penance or whatever you want to call beating yourself up. And it made it so when I was justifying myself, I realized quicker what I was doing. And those things have changed my life. And they can have an influence on yours as well. The God of the universe wants you to know joy. He wants you to know joy through fellowshipping with him, through loving him and obeying his commands, and then loving your brothers and sisters. That's how he wants you to know joy. And he's made a way for you to do that even when you fall. Let's give him thanks. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come here today and be sure in our relationship with the Father because of you. Lord Jesus, we know that we don't deserve to be children of God, but we thank you that you made us children of God. And Lord, we thank you that we now can experience forgiveness of our sins as his children because of what you've done on the cross. Lord, that you call us back into fellowship even when we don't deserve it. Lord, we thank you that you call us back into fellowship so that we can have joy in your presence, so we can experience you working in our lives. And Lord, I do pray for the people here today. Lord, I pray for anybody here who doesn't know this fellowship and doesn't know you. Lord, I ask that you move in their heart so that they could see that they're in darkness, and that they would repent and run to the light and come to know you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that we would all give up other ways of trying to fix our sin and just simply step into your light, confess it, and trust you, Lord Jesus, because you love us so much. Lord, help us to trust you. We ask this in your name. Amen.